Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Neurodiversity Support Podcast. I'm your host, Annika, a local neurodivergent and neurodiversity specialist. Today, we're going to be exploring PDA, pathological demand avoidance. Now, we're going to refer to it as PDA throughout this podcast. I know we used to use PDA as an abbreviation to say public display of affection. That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing PDA today. And we're going to talk about hyperpresenting adults and hyperpresenting children, and to talk about some strategies to help those individuals navigate the challenges that their PDA present. So what exactly is PDA? PDA is found within the autistic spectrum disorder. It doesn't necessarily, it isn't a stand-alone diagnosis. You can't just be diagnosed with PDA, but we know that ADHD is a neurodivergent cousin of autism, and that is the reason why many people that have ADHD, if they don't have a primary diagnosis of autism, also has challenges that stem from PDA. And so today we are basically going to be speaking about PDA as if it was a standalone diagnosis, to just speak about the challenges that PDA itself presents for neurodivergence. Now, in children, PDA is often manifested in their very strong desire to be in control. And if you understand being a child and being taught how to be a human, you understand there is a lot of demands and expectations of children because we're training them to be little humans to grow up to be amazing, strong, neurodivergent humans. And that means that they are actually faced with many demands from adults in their environment. And what happens is when there is an expectation of them, could you please pick up your clothes from the floor? They have a natural, pathological, neurological response to that expectation that sends them into the reptilian brain, giving them this very heightened response, sending them into fight, flight, or freeze. And the reason for that is because they understand or they process that stimulus of the excitation as being a threat to them, and that is the reason why they go into the reptilian brain. So as a parent or as a caregiver of a child, the best thing to do is to understand that, to understand their anxiety responses to these demands that leads them into a place of avoidance, and to us, we perceive it as defiance because they are not following instructions. And this can make parenting and traditional teaching methods not effective at all and can lead to a lot of frustration within the home. So understanding your child's PDA and giving them what they need is key to having a happy neurodivergent home. Let's talk about PDA and how it presents in adults. Now, adults struggle tremendously with PDA, especially if they are in a working environment, in a studying environment, because there are many very There's many responsibilities that have a lot of weight to it within the workplace, within their studies. There are very big consequences if they don't meet those expectations. That's what I'm trying to say, even my tongue is twisted. So what I'm saying is that for adults, they are in environments that are less forgiving for PDA, less forgiving for neurodivergence for the most part. And when there is a deadline, they are expected to meet that. And that is terrible for a PDA adult. They really struggle with that and gives them a lot of anxiety, and it even affects their ability to manage relationships, because relationships for an adult also has many expectations, and that gives them this difficulty with social demands and takes away their autonomy. Now, PDA is essentially the desire, strong desire and need to have autonomy, to have a control over yourself and the control over the things that you do. And this is when you see an adult and you ask them, could you please pass that tissues? And they say, no, but they still give it to you because they feel like they want to take back control. They want to be in control of their own bodies. And so, if we understand PDA in adults and children, we can understand and we can better support them by having different approaches to them, some strategies. So the first one is having flexible planning. This planning allows them to feel like they have more options than just do it by this time. If I say to my kid, hey, Bob, We have to study 3 chapters. Would you like to do that for 1 hour at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, or 7 o'clock? Would you like to play your game, finish for 10 minutes or for 20 minutes, and then after that we go and study? You give them choices. You allow them a spectrum of choices that they can say, I'd like to do it at this time, I'd like to do it that time. The bottom line of my expectation is still intact. I'm still expecting them to study, but they have a sense of autonomy to choose when they are going to study. So that gives them the autonomy that they so desperately desire. The second thing is have clear communication. I see this all the time, is that the communication with people with PDA is way too vague. Did you study? Immediate response of anxiety if I get those questions, because that, did I study? I mean, when? Now? Yesterday? When? And you shut that child down immediately. Instead of saying, have you already studied chapter 1 of your textbook? Direct, explicit communication helps to avoid and mitigate any anxiety response within the child. If I say, I would like you to study chapter 1 and 2 by the end of next week, could you do that on Monday and Tuesday? Or would you prefer to do it on Wednesday and Thursday and play your game on Tuesday? You give them options, but you give them a clear expectation of what you are trying to say to them. You're not saying vaguely, are you working hard? You have to work hard. What does that mean? Work hard at what? Eating my lunch? You see, you confuse them, which sends them into this anxiety response because you are not communicating clearly. If you are in a place where you're an employer of an employee that has PDA and they struggle to hand in their things at the right time and they're always missing deadlines, clear communication would be, John, you know we have this project that is due at the end of the month. How are you doing with that? Would you like me to help you do option 1 and 2 to plan when you're going to do that? To give them a sense of autonomy to plan, flexible planning when they're going to do it, but then they still feel like they're the ones that made those decisions. So gradual exposure is then the obvious next one, is that we are going to create this environment that is safe for them, where we give them many choices in the beginning to be able to feel like, I want you to eat vegetables tonight and I give you 5 options of vegetables and you can choose which vegetables you'd like to eat tonight. I only want one, so I communicate clearly, I only want you to eat at least one. You have 5 choices, they feel like there's a choice. And later on, there's only 3 choices, and later on there's only 2, and later on there's only 1. And they've been exposed to the concept that there's an expectation to eat of it, but the exposure showed them and trained them, conditioned their brain to understand this expectation is not a threat. I can accept this expectation, and then when it gradually comes down to only 1 option, it's not that threatening to me, and I don't go into my reptilian brain and respond in my flight, fright, or freeze because I've been exposed and gradually been conditioned that this is a safe place. My mom loves me. This is okay. I don't die when I do it. You know? So gradual exposure is key. With a child that studies, you say to them, I want you to study 1 chapter over this whole week, later on 2 chapters, later on 3, later on allow them to decide for themselves so that you get them to this broad expectation and they narrow it down as they feel, as they test the environment and they see the hypothesis testing that actually I'm safe when I do this. When I have autonomy over myself, I'm safe. This is a safe environment. The fourth one and the most important one, I think, is to give them a collaborative problem solving collaboration. Because if I say to my employee, we have a project that's due at the end of the month and you have 5 bullets. Tell me, when are you going to plan this? Can I help you plan this? They feel like they are making the decisions about the problem that pertains to them and they have full autonomy, but they feel safe understanding that I'm always there to help you. I am your safe place. So they lean into that support while making their full decisions because they know I'm not going to take their power away. And the dialogue is key. You can't say, okay, are you sure you're going to get that right? Because then you make them feel like you're threatening them. So the way you speak is so important because if you make them feel condescended, patronized at any point of that conversation, you're sending them back to stage 1 of PDA. You don't want them. You want them to feel like you trust them. You want them to feel that you trust in their ability to make their own decisions, but you are simply there to help them but their full autonomy, and you're not judging them and you're not challenging their autonomy in any shape or form. If that's what you're doing, you are doing an amazing, amazing job. With your child, same thing. You don't want them to feel, the parents feel like being a parent means that you have to criticize your children to help them to be better constantly. That's the worst thing you can do for a PDA child. Positive reinforcement is massive. Well done on being kind to your sister. Thank you for answering like that. That was very nice. Thank you for that. The rewards. If you are going to activate the reward pathway in their brain and not lead them down the PDA pathway in their brain that sends them to reptilian brain, but rather say, if you do this, you're going to get that thing that you want. I'm so proud of you. Good job. Then that is gold. That's where you want them to be. But the essential approach of PDA is to be empathetic, to be safe, and to make them feel that they are understood and loved. I hope that is very helpful to you. Thank you so much for joining us today to explore PDA, pathological demand avoidance, and remember to embrace the neurodivergence and to enrich their lives so that they can reach their full potential. Thank you so much. Have a lackaday. We'll see you next week. Bye.